Hi, everybody. This is Tom Salemi of Device Talks. Welcome to the Abbott Talks podcast. Over the past few years, the world has come to recognize Abbott as a company dedicated to helping people live happier and healthier lives. In this podcast series, we'll talk with the healthcare leaders, the executives, and the engineers who are working every day to develop new technologies to help people live their best lives. I know you'll enjoy this episode of the Abbott Talks podcast.
Hello and welcome. I'm Kayleen Brown, Managing Editor for Device Talks, and this is Abbott Talks. Hey, Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Kayleen. This is exciting to bring another installment of the Abbott Talks podcast series. Happy to be here.
That's always my favorite time of day. And can you believe it's the conclusion of season three? How did that happen? Where'd the time go?
I know. It's been flying. And this one was actually supposed to happen a little inside baseball a few weeks ago. But you got sick and I got sick and our guest had some wireless problems. So we've moved this one up a bit. But it's definitely worth the wait. And it's focusing on an area that I love. I love the space we'll be talking about. So really excited about it.
I couldn't agree more. So season three is when I got to sit in as co-host. I say thank you almost too much, but I think it's really, really important that the world hears just how grateful I am to you, Tom, and to Abbott for the opportunity. Co-hosting Abbott Talks has been absolutely one of my all-time favorite things that I've ever done, and it's made me more connected to the industry in a way that I never have been before. I've learned a lot. And I was reflecting on season three, and I realized there's this sort of common theme that happened really organically, Tom. I noticed that Abbott is focusing, and the Abbott leaders are focusing more to systems of care and implant communication for Abbott's pacemaker and Abbott's health failure continuum approach. I think it's really interesting how it's shifted to how everything connects to each other and kind of speaks to each other. Do you have anything that comes to mind when you reflect on season three?
I think we hit some of my favorite topics this season, and I went back and took a look. Of course, we had the chance to speak with Santosh Prabhu at Structural Heart, and I talked to him a few times and always enjoy unpacking that, I think, miraculous technology. And I looked at some of the other episodes we did. I mean, I think the first one you and I did together was with Vishwaran, and we talked about the leadless pacemakers, and that was a lot of fun. I remember that was the first time we did it together, and once that happened, we knew this was going to work. But just reviewing that interview, I kind of measure my interest by the times I say holy moly, or that's the coolest thing. Yeah, so I had a few holy mollies in that one, and gave a really cool story to just the discussion about the leadless modular pacemakers. I just think that two technologies that talk to each other inside the body, I think just miraculous stuff. So that was a big highlight for me. And then we also had a chance to speak with Ben Gustafson about the HeartMate 3 and just the fact that folks have become accustomed to using this LVAD, this temporary quote-unquote pump, to the point where some are choosing to remain on that as opposed to going, receiving a replacement heart and taking on all the medicines and things and procedures that go along with that. So these technologies are just remarkable and saving lives and extending lives and restoring lives. So it's been a great season for sure.
I love that. So you count holy molies. I count what I tell my mom. So there were a lot of, hey, mom, I learned this, but two of them in particular come to mind. And I think that really kind of translates. So when we met with Ethan Korngold, we were talking about AI, and Ethan said this really great phrase. He said, AI as the GPS for the cath lab. And I think that's something that even my mom can really understand the power of that. And then another one of those, hey, mom, I learned this, is Yagna Pathak. She was telling us the origin story of neuromodulation, or, you know, one of the sort of origin stories, I don't know if you remember it, but how Romans used to use electric fish to treat headaches.
I forgot about that.
That was a big holy moly, let me call my mom. Well, right? It was so good. I love Abbott. It's really just been such a pleasure. But if it works for you, I think that we should keep the party going. Absolutely. With the ultimate episode of season 3.
Before we begin this episode, I want to bring in our sponsor, Confluent Medical.
Brittany Mai, head of marketing for Confluent Medical Technologies. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Brittany, you know that I go out of my way to find time to sit down with you and learn more about Confluent and about the industry. You are one of my favorite people to sit down and have these conversations with. So I'm so thrilled to bring another set of interviews for 2026 and to learn even more about Confluent Medical Technologies. So maybe we start there, Brittany. From your own perspective, can you tell us about Confluent Medical Technologies?
Yeah, absolutely. So Confluent specializes in the expert design, development, and manufacturing of interventional catheter-based devices and implants. Our key capabilities include nitinol components in tubing, balloon and complex catheters, high-precision polymer tubing, and biomedical textiles, with a focus in some key markets like your neurovascular, cardiovascular, peripheral vascular, and interventional pulmonology.
You mentioned neurovascular. Can you help us understand Confluent's relationship with the neurovascular market?
Yeah. So Confluent was originally founded as NDC, Nitinol Device and Components, and that was over 30 years ago. And over those 30 years, the innovations within the nitinol space have grown tremendously. The team then were the first ones who really brought nitinol into the medical device space, and are experts now who have a combined over 100 years of expertise, are taking it to that next level and investing in next generation materials. And then with FilmCast is traditionally used in neurovascular space because of the tighter tolerances. And the material science expertise and innovations that we're bringing in that space are really what are going to set our customers apart in these next generation devices.
Well, that really is so very exciting. So how does Confluent work with medical device companies in the neurovascular market?
Yes. So Confluent, as I said, offers over 100 years of combined expertise within the catheter-based implantable technologies, of course, used traditionally within the neurovascular applications. From that rich history of nitinol and the latest innovations in FilmCast, we use our material science expertise and our strong vertically integrated supply chain to partner with our OEM customers to help bring their medical device designs to life.
Rebecca Wilkins, Divisional Vice President of R&D for Neuromodulation at Abbott. Rebecca, welcome to Abbott Talks.
Hi, Kayleen. It's great to be here.
Pleasure is all ours. You probably heard us gushing effusively about Abbott. We love it and we love what you do. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. I love what I do. I've been working on medical device technology for 20 years. And when I started, I was kind of thinking, okay, do I want to work in healthcare? Do I want to work in engineering? And I found kind of the perfect fit with biomedical engineering and started working in healthcare, designing wirelessly connected infusion pumps. Decided I still had a lot to learn and started taking night classes to obtain my master's in electrical engineering. And since then have applied all of that knowledge to what I consider the best job in the world, creating neuromodulation systems. And I've designed several of our products. I've led our engineering teams. And now I kind of oversee the neuromodulation portfolio for chronic pain and movement disorders. And I see these incredible solutions helping people worldwide and even family members like my mother, who has our device to alleviate the symptoms of Parkinson's disease.
That's amazing. I think we'll talk a little more about that in a moment. But what was the draw to healthcare? Do you have family members there? Do you have family members who needed healthcare? There's always, I think, some personal
that draws people I think that having an interest in healthcare, having a strong aptitude towards math and science, and just wanting to kind of make my mark in a way that I felt was meaningful, all those things sort of drew me to healthcare. And I really spent my entire career in healthcare, and I've loved every minute of it. I truly have.
And when you got your biomedical degree or at Texas A&M, that was kind of early on when biomedical degrees kind of first started to be a thing, right? I mean,
yeah, biomedical engineering. I don't know how much I want to date myself, but like probably. I think those you know, that's kind of, it's engineering, but it's also considering the body. So it's kind of applies to the body. Not sure if it was new, but definitely an interesting area to study for sure.
I'm always really intrigued how you specialize in a specific area. So you went from mechanical engineering to electrical engineering, and then very clearly that has been a big part of all of your roles and everything that you did since. What turned your head to electrical engineering specifically?
I did love when I was studying biomedical engineering, you could kind of decide, do you want to lean in on mechanical and electrical? And I did like electrical quite a bit. I found electrical circuit design interesting. That leads to a lot of embedded systems, writing firmware for microprocessors. All it just sort of builds from there. And that's where I think neuromodulation is really truly like a dream job for someone who finds electrical energy stimulation circuits interesting, because that's truly applying that energy to the human body and sort of like connecting and closing a circuit through the human body.
But reflecting on your roles leading up to that, what are some strategies for staying at a big company?
So I think fundamentally anyone who works in technology has to have technical skills. So if you want to work in research or engineering or, you know, scientific matters, like foundationally, you have to have spent time doing that work, designing the product in the lab, testing, and have a deep understanding of the technical problems that need to be solved. Working in a big company, I think it offers a lot of opportunities for growth. And usually that means I either go very deep or I go wide, right? And so I start to do things maybe outside of my expertise, or maybe I start to lead people. And it's more about achieving these things through a team of incredible people versus the things that I specifically did. And both pathways are equally, rewarding, and you need both. We need our top technical experts that have deep, deep expertise, and we need people that can bring a team together and, you know, bring a concept across the finish line to our customers. And so I think in a larger company, you have a lot of opportunity to kind of dabble on either side, specialize in one area, and then continue to grow. And maybe that you're going deeper and deeper and deeper, and you have this extreme expertise that is, incredibly necessary for the company, or you're getting broader and you're taking on more things that and larger teams and just moving things across the finish line.
I hear a lot of the human side of medtech with that response. And I think that medtech in every single way is human and vulnerable. I recently uncovered a story that I think is really reflective of how medtech really impacts the real world and impacts all of us as stakeholders in medtech. Would you be willing to share the story of your mom and your role at Abbott and how they came together?
Sure. So I was working at Abbott Neuromodulation, so I was very familiar with these chronic disease states and familiar with the technology that helps alleviate some of those symptoms. Like, we've been working on these things for years. And I did notice that my mom was kind of showing some symptoms that I thought she needed to get checked out. And then at some point, you know, through all of that, we realized that she did have Parkinson's. And I was so grateful to be in this field because I could connect her with great caregivers and just help her understand what her options were. Mm-hmm. And some of these options are available to many people and they just aren't aware of it. And her health journey is definitely her journey. Like, she made her decisions, but I felt like my job was helping her understand what options she had to make those decisions, and then connecting her with people that I knew in the industry, you know, would help her on that journey.
No, that's amazing. And it's, I think it's a particularly powerful gift when you can give your family members insight into into what's a really complex and complicated situation, and doesn't always need to be, but unfortunately it is. Looking more broadly, I mean, let's talk a bit about neuromodulation. I mean, how we can help folks like your mom or others. Let's just talk a bit about how, I mean, it's a broad topic, it's a broad technology, but can you give us sort of the 10,000 foot view of what it is and what problems it can solve?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think having like a close family member, like many people in healthcare, right? Many people are passionate about healthcare because they have these personal connections with people who have benefited. But I do think it helps me sort of lead the team to think beyond just what we always do. How can we make it better? How can we make it less burdensome? And what would you do if this was your mom? And I think that empathy drives, you know, best in class solutions. So I try to approach it that way and try to think of, you know, if we're coming down to making a decision, have we really contemplated it at a personal level? And that, I think that helps guide our decision making. But ultimately, to get back to your question, I think when you're developing products, you're really trying to resolve or alleviate a symptom without adding additional burden. And so engineering is like this, it's really interesting. I mean, it's science, but it's a bit of an art form, right? Because you're trying to optimize something. So I want to give you a solution that solves a problem for you. And I don't want to create another problem for you that maybe I didn't understand or didn't intend by introducing it into your life. And I think that's where, you know, Abbott really tries to focus on solutions that fit holistically within the patient journey and help them throughout their life. So that might be diagnostics, having products with MRI capability. So for an active implantable, historically, that's been a barrier. So we have focused on continuing to improve our MRI imaging capability, like our MRI compatibility. So that if a patient has to get an MRI for other reasons, right, after their surgery, which we anticipate, that's not a barrier to them. It's something they can do so they can have complete access to care. We've implemented Bluetooth into our devices well before the market did, a lot more than 10 years ago. And that allowed patients to connect with their implant over their personal phone. And so now I can make adjustments to my therapy, and I don't have this clunky medical device that I'm holding that everyone sees. So it's just kind of seamlessly fitting into people's lives. We've also introduced Neurosphere Virtual Clinic, which is a first of its kind remote care connection. So a physician connect remotely with a patient and make adjustments to their implant in real time, as long as they're connected to Wi-Fi or they have modem capabilities. So this is something that's just, it's enabling access to care, and it's preventing our products from being a burden. So let's say they have these chronic conditions change over time. They're very complex, right? So if you have a flare up or something changes and you live far away, you live 2 hours from your treating physician, this is an opportunity to connect remotely, get some adjustments, and move on quickly.
I think that's amazing. And I just wanted to, I know we'll get into specific technologies in a moment, but your point about the advent of a Wi-Fi and of Bluetooth, that just must really open the field for designers to, like, you used to have to operate in this little box, either in the clinician's office or the home, right? And having that connectivity just really just blows everything open and just creates multiple opportunities for you, I imagine. It must be very liberating.
Absolutely. I think that's, like, it's kind of why I think healthcare is so interesting, because the rest of the industry is changing, right? Whether that's Bluetooth connectivity and down the road, it's AI. You can see how all of these tools can be implemented into healthcare for significant impact. And so trying to stay abreast of what is out there and how could we implement it in technology and be the first, perhaps. But, like, these are great technologies to take advantage of in healthcare.
It made me think about what Tom and I were chatting about in the introduction, about this focus on systems of care and continuum of care. That connectivity allows you to close that loop. If you'll indulge me, Rebecca, I'm still a little muddy. I'm a layperson. I'm a little muddy on neuromodulation. Is it chronic pain? What else is it? Can you give us just an understanding?
Sure.
What is neuromodulation?
So you can think of neuromodulation as a therapy that's really intended to interrupt errant nervous signals in your body. So they're nervous signals, nervous system signals that are kind of like an error. And that can lead to chronic pain, movement disorders, all sorts of different things. The way we treat that is we typically use an implanted battery, which we call an implantable pulse generator, and it creates electrical stimulation. And that's carried to a certain portion of the body. So for instance, chronic pain patients would have that stimulus carried to their spinal cord through an electrode. Movement disorders would be in the brain, the stimulus would be in the brain. And then we're also studying treatment-resistant depression. So we have movement disorders, chronic pain, and we're studying treatment-resistant depression right now. And you're really alleviating the symptoms of those chronic pain, of those chronic conditions, sorry.
I will take a quick break from this conversation to bring back our sponsor, Confluent Medical.
What about news? Is there anything that we can look forward to in 2026 from Confluent?
Absolutely. So we just recently launched Filmcast Select. This is a materials customization program that enables our OEM customers to select intentional key performance attributes of Filmcast PTFE and polyimide tubing. Through Filmcast Select, customers can choose materials based on characteristics such as flexibility, durability, strength, surface finish, regulatory compliance, and optical clarity to align with specific device requirements.
Well, first of all, Brittany, congratulations. And if our audience wants to learn more about Filmcast, is there any way that we can do that?
Of course. So you always have our website where we love our customers and anyone wanting to learn more to come to learn more about Filmcast Select. But we're actually doing a Device Talks Tuesday with you guys in March, where our two key subject matter experts will really dive into what really makes Filmcast Select this innovation within the Filmcast space and how customers can apply it to their technology.
Well, I know I'm personally very much looking forward to that. And I am fighting with Tom right now to see who can host that Device Talks Tuesday. So stay tuned, Brittany and audience. For our audience, please register for that complimentary webinar by Confluent Medical Technologies. Just go to www.devicetalks.com and we'll see you in March. Brittany, before I let you go, I want to take a look at the future. So how do you see the industry changing in the near and long-term future?
As the demand for minimally invasive procedures continues to grow, medical devices need to adapt. They need to become smaller, more sophisticated, and increasingly performance-driven. A one-size-fits-all approach is no longer sufficient. So Confluent is continuing to invest in material science innovations that give our customers the competitive edge in these next-generation devices.
Wonderful. Well, Brittany Mai, Head of Marketing for Confluent Medical Technologies, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
And for our audience, if you want to learn more about Confluent Medical Technologies, please visit their website at www.confluentmedical.com. That's C-O-N-F-L-U-E-N-T medical.com.
Maybe we can focus on spinal cord stimulation and dorsal root and ganglion. Am I saying
yes.
that right? Ganglion?
Yes.
Okay. Woo! 100 points to me.
Yes.
So you gave a really great overview, but maybe if we just can deep dive into there, how do those devices address chronic pain in patients whose pain is tied to other serious illnesses?
I'll start maybe with just defining what the dorsal root ganglion is, because it's a long mouthful.
Everyone knows what that is.
I told you I was
talking about it this morning.
Yeah.
No, please.
You can think of it as like if you think of your spinal cord as a tree trunk, the large limbs coming in right at the trunk are the dorsal root ganglion. And from there, that disperses to smaller limbs that are the peripheral nervous system. So we stimulate the spinal cord with spinal cord stimulation, and then we also stimulate the dorsal root ganglion. So it's a little bit more specific stimulation. And by having that specific stimulation, we can target very specific areas like the foot or the lower leg. And that's not something that you can easily treat with spinal cord stimulation.
Okay. So how do those complex conditions change the type of routine monitoring a patient requires?
I would say anyone with a chronic disease state has this like double burden, right? And so whether that's diabetes, maybe it's diabetic peripheral neuropathy, so pain from diabetes, cancer, cardiovascular diseases, it ultimately leads to I have a lot of treatment paradigms and diagnostic needs, right? And so there's not just a singular focus on pain. So those patients can't just have adjusted stimulation levels. They may need to monitor their blood glucose levels. They may need to monitor their blood pressure. There's just a like holistic kind of view of their whole health that is required. And that can be really burdensome. And that goes back to us talking about, okay, what are we doing to create solutions and improve access to care? And make sure that our solutions aren't blocking access to care for people who have these comorbidities and these complex disease states. And that's where I think our Nurse Fair Virtual Clinic is really exciting. You know, you can quickly access care anywhere. It's a first of its kind technology in the U.S. And to have a caregiver connect with you remotely, adjust your settings to your implant, that's incredible. We have a patient that went on a safari and she had a flare up, and she, you know, this is a complex disease state, right? So she's out trying to enjoy her life on vacation and she had this flare up. She was able to connect with her Austin physician through Nursery Virtual Clinic from a different continent, receive adjusted stimulation settings, and then go enjoy her vacation.
That's a call my mom moment.
Holy moly.
So we were talking about the human side of med tech and how med tech really impacts the real world. I myself have actually been dealing with chronic pain over a decade. And I was just recently sharing with Tom that sometimes it feels like I have this mental fatigue and, you know, still being a mom of a three-year-old and having this incredible, this job that I love so, so, so much and this industry that I love so much, I'm exhausted all the time. So chronic pain, it has given me that, to your point, Rebecca, this empathy for others who are experiencing chronic pain. So I'm trying to understand the relationship between chronic pain and neuromodulation. So can you help us understand the diagnostic gap that patients like myself with chronic pain have faced in the past?
Yeah, I think it's twofold, right? The first one is when you go to a doctor and you're in pain, the first thing they ask you is, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain? I don't know. Have you guys ever been asked that question?
Nonstop every week for the last, and I'm, what does that mean? What is a 5? What is a 10? What does that mean?
I never know how to respond. And I always think, well, surely somebody's feeling something worse than me. So like, too. I don't know how to answer that. Right. And so that inherently is a big part of the problem. How do you measure pain? It's a very qualitative thing. There aren't clear biomarkers. I think that's what we're all trying to explore and understand. How do you identify someone in pain? How do you recognize if their disease is progressing? How do you help them? Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult to quantify. And I'll tell you, as someone who's an engineer, that's like, it's definitely a problem to solve because we like to work in numbers. We like to work in concrete things. And, but I think for our patients where they've really struggled is getting the care they need, being able to communicate how they're feeling and feeling heard, really. And so that's where I think there's a lot of opportunity in our technology. There's a lot of opportunity in how we monitor, how we measure. I think with the advent of AI and machine learning, being able to identify trends that help essentially objectify people's pain so that we can help them, meet them where they are, and then understand how our solutions are benefiting them. Like that's critically important. And then I think the other diagnostic gap, which we touched on a little bit, but it's always a historic kind of complication with people with implanted medical devices, is getting access to MRI. And so we've been really focused on advancing that and making sure those historic imaging barriers are reduced. We just launched prone MRI for people. So prone is where you get an MRI where you're laying flat. And that's especially helpful for women who need breast imaging or breast cancer. So that's no longer a barrier with our products. And I would say where we have maybe differentiated from others is we consistently kind of focus on improving MRI access for our existing patients and our new patients. So our solutions are kind of forward and backwards compatible. That's really important to us as it's kind of like the world is changing around us. We want to continue to make sure we're unlocking MRI access even for our existing patients.
With going back to the pain question for patients, which is a difficult, and pain itself is just, when you're suffering from it, you know, you're not sure when it's going to end, if it's going to end. It's a very, I haven't had it for a time, but for when my kids were young, I had back issues that were just kept me out of it. I couldn't sit. I couldn't drive. It was very, this has taken me back to those times. So with the stimulators, in the neurotechnology you're offering, I mean, do you find a broader acceptance of this technology from patients? Are they hungry for this sort of solution? Because there's a whole, I mean, the other issue that we've had, of course, is the opiate problem, which we're moving right away from, and you folks are offering a great alternative to that. Do you feel, even from your spot as head in R&D, do you feel a growing acceptance of neuromodulation, especially as you're making things like the MRI compatible devices that don't right have future intervention or diagnostics?
I do. I think like a potential barrier that is awareness, mm-hmm, people knowing that this solution exists. And then I think that there is some people have concerns about having something in their body, right? And so an implanted device that's battery powered can seem a little bit scary.
Right.
So helping people understand the benefit and the value it brings. And then also, and it kind of goes back to some of the discussions we had about when you're engineering something, are you considering the burden? We have a device that doesn't require recharging. So for people that might be interested in the therapy, but they're not sure about recharging the device all the time, we have a non-rechargeable device. For people that want something small, so that's another thing to consider, mm-hmm, is it's like these trade-offs. If I have this implant, you know, is it going to be big? Is it going to stick out? Are people going to notice it? Or is it maybe going to cause discomfort? We also have a very small device that only has to be recharged 5 times a year. And we spent a lot of time trying to optimize the engineering in that. So we made it very, very small. And you only have to recharge it 5 times a year using nominal stimulation settings. Those are really actually conflicting design requirements. So it could have been something really big and you don't have to charge very often, or it could have been something really small, but you have to charge all the time. To be able to achieve both was a lot of work, and we're really proud of that. But that was an attempt to make the therapy more accessible to our patients. So if they want that therapy and they'll get the benefit, but they're uncertain about maybe, the implant in their body, we've provided them with a best-in-class small solution that doesn't need to be maintained all the time.
Fantastic.
That's so encouraging. And if I may, I just want to close the loop. So you said one of the potential solutions is an increased awareness. How does, like from the perspective of the patient, how do they go from, let's say, meeting with their primary care practitioner to being exposed to this intervention that be a real game changer? What's that bridge for the gap?
A lot of times people are referred to an interventional pain specialist, and they have a whole host of tool sets they can provide to patients. They might be medicines, it might be injections, it might be ablation. So we also have products that ablate portions of the nervous system. Those things are a little bit maybe more temporary. And then we have obviously these implants, these stimulations. So I think it's getting in with essentially someone who specializes in pain treatment and understands all the tools in the toolbox that might be appropriate for that patient.
So just to wrap up, I know you had your big meeting, the North American Neuromodulation Society meeting, where I'm sure a lot was introduced and a lot of new devices talked about. What were some of the news that you were able to share at the NANS meeting?
A couple of things. So, and it really feeds into what we were just talking about. How do you help awareness mm-hmm. for our pain patients, and how do we objectively demonstrate value to the patient and to the healthcare system? So we announced 5-year data that demonstrated that our neuromodulation therapies significantly reduce pain-related healthcare encounters. So they're not having to go back to their treating physician for people living with chronic pain. So that included our proprietary waveform, which is our stimulation, and SCS, so spinal cord stimulation for people with chronic pain, and the dorsal root ganglion stimulation. And we saw that on average, our SCS patients had reduced their pain-related healthcare encounters by 75%.
Wow.
And our dorsal root ganglion patients had reduced by 73%. So that's kind of showing like this is successful, durable solution that is kind of like not requiring them to go back and get healthcare check-ins. So we also so that's just kind of like showing the impact and to the I guess to their life outside of their implant. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. We also presented several front-end research posters, and this is kind of like things that we're currently exploring different concepts, but we showed how digital health, that's a lot of like the connected care and digital health is how I think we ultimately objectify all of this and demonstrate good outcomes. We showed how people can describe and communicate their pain using data-rich neuromodulation systems. That goes back to like, there's things better than on a scale of 1 to 10, right? And then how to develop clinically actionable approaches to these conversations. And then looking at different novel waveforms so that we're constantly learning about how the brain and nervous system responds to stimulus, because we're ultimately trying to kind of speak the language of the body and then listen to language of the body. And that's an area we're all still learning about.
Ooh, listen to the language of the body. That's going to be my new quote for the next intro that we do. That's a perfect call your mom one. Rebecca, any last thoughts for our audience before we wrap up?
No, I think, this has been so fun. And I love talking about our technology and talking about what we do at Abbott and what we focus on. I think I'm so blessed to have this job and work on this incredible technology. And I think that our focus on the patient and their whole journey and providing them with fantastic solutions that alleviate chronic conditions, right? As well as kind of remove burdens mm-hmm. from healthcare and all these barriers. That's really our focus. It's exciting. I'm thrilled to be here working on this, and I'm just excited about what the future holds with that kind of focus.
And it's going to be validating for the patients too, for those patients who had been in pain and then suddenly they were relieved of it. And number one, I think sometimes you forget what it feels like not to be in pain, or at least to have less pain. That must be really rewarding for them. But also just the fact that you're demonstrating that there was something that needed to be tended to and needed to be remedied. It must be really empowering for them, and I would guess rewarding for you.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk with patients all the time, and there's definitely some like tearjerker moments where we, you know, we're reminded of the importance of the mission and the benefit. So it's great.
I'm going to second Tom's point about validation, and it's conversations like this, Rebecca, that make me sleep better at night. It gives me hope. It makes me feel again connected to this best industry in the entire world and having the best job in the entire world. So thank you so much again for your time. Thank you to Abbott, Rebecca Wilkins, Divisional Vice President for R&D Neuromodulation at Abbott. Thank you so much for joining us on Abbott Talks.
Thank you. Thanks, Kayleen. Thanks, Tom.
Well, that's a wrap on this episode of Abbott Talks and of season 3 of Abbott Talks. Kayleen Brown, it's Woo-hoo! Been what a fun season. I know you said thank you at the top, but honestly, it's been great fun to have you on these calls as well. And I don't know, podcasts can be such a lonely business, Kayleen. You know that. If just you and the guests, it's nice to have a pal by your side asking questions along with you. So thank you for being part of the season. It was really great.
Oh, beyond words, my pleasure. And it's also really fun doing something with someone who is just as interested and passionate about mm-hmm. the topic in the industry. Because I feel like as we learn something, we're always slacking each other or texting each other. Like, oh, did you see that article? Oh, this is so interesting. Oh, we have this upcoming interview. We should ask about this. And I don't have anybody I can ask. You know, I did mention in the episode that, you know, I call my mom with these like really key moments, but we can't banter back and forth. Her response typically is, oh. So thank you for giving me more than, oh.
That's great. Well, and also we have thanks to give to our sponsor.
Yes, of course. So we would not be able to put this episode out without our friends at Confluent Medical Technology. So thank you so, so much, Confluent, for those in our audience who want to learn more about Confluent and how they can work with you. Please visit their website at www.confluentmedical.com. That's confluentmedical.com. Please make sure to learn more about them.
They're the best. They're great supporters of Device Talks. And to your point about geeking out over MedTech, you had mentioned one thing before we push record about the part of Rebecca's story that she humbly did not share, but we think is worth sharing. So
thank you. Thank you. I want to shout it from the rooftops. So thank you for giving me the place to do that. Okay, so in our conversation with Rebecca, I allude to this mom-daughter moment, and it comes down to this. So Rebecca's mother was diagnosed with Parkinson's. Her medication that she was on wasn't doing what it needed to do to have the positive outcomes that everybody was hoping for. So her doctor recommended Abbott's Infinity Deep Brain Stimulation System, so Abbott's Infinity DBS system. That is the exact technology that Rebecca helped develop at Abbott.
Amazing.
Right? I helped build this. I helped design this. I helped solve this problem. I get a phone call. My mom has a need, and the technology that I helped bring to the world can be given to my mom, and happy to say with extremely positive outcomes, and it's worked beautifully, and I hope that it continues to work. But if that doesn't communicate or illustrate the impact that medical technology has on every one of our lives, I mean, it does. So cool.
Ah! Very cool. MedTech is the coolest. Holy moly.
Holy moly. I got to call my mom.
So thanks everyone for joining us on this episode of Abbott Talks. Please make sure you subscribe to the Device Talks Podcast Network or Kayleen. They can subscribe to Abbott Talks directly, correct? If they want to receive only these episodes, but we highly recommend that you subscribe to the Device Talks Podcast Network so you can get Device Talks Weekly and Women in MedTech, the former hosted by me, the latter hosted by Kayleen Brown. Lots of great MedTech stories coming your way. And of course, follow me on LinkedIn, follow Kayleen on LinkedIn, and please follow Device Talks on LinkedIn so you don't miss news about our podcast, our webinars, and our conferences, and other clever MedTech stuff that we tend to post about. So once again, thanks for being part of the Abbott Talks podcast. And Kayleen Brown, thanks again to you for being such an amazing co-host.